So last week, we were not here, and great job to Mike, who is, I think, in Greenfield this week, and other folks in stepping up and having a wonderful service together. If you didn't know, we were in Virginia for a swimming competition for Aislinn. And for me, these trips are really exciting and getting to see her swim and her team do really well. But it can be really interesting as a person who kind of likes to try to figure out a way to jump in and help. And for a girls' swimming team, there's often only so many things that you can do, right? Like, I can't be a liaison in the locker room or the deck, right? That's more for moms. That'd be good. And I definitely cannot be trusted to do the special makeup that they wear, and probably not even the hair. And they have this stuff called Knox that, like, kind of keeps their hair down even when they're in the water and everything. Wendy's gotten really good at it, but I don't think I would do a great job. You can help out by, like, being a runner for different scoring things for the judges, but I haven't always been great at that either. And this really came into view, though, a couple years ago when we were in Colorado for Junior Olympics. Now, for most of these competitions, just, you know, I'll help out with Cohen. I'll float around a little bit. I can kind of find my lane. But when we went to Colorado, Aislinn and I flew in by ourselves. And they had said that they were going to, like, rent a van that then the whole team would drive in, but they ended up changing plans. So I didn't rent a car because I thought I could help out by driving the van. So then I didn't have transportation while I was there. I was getting dragged around by everybody. And they were nice. They were great. I thought maybe I could help with food, but there were some people who were very particular and had their own very special plans about the awesome meal that they were going to do, which I could be their assistant or their sous chef or whatever, but kind of same thing that was taken care of. And it felt very strange to be there, to see lots of things happening, lots of things needing to be covered, but having a little bit of trouble being like, well, I don't want to feel like I'm just dead weight, but it's a little tricky to find exactly what my role is. And eventually, it turned out that some of the things that I could do is I could be sort of a liaison between all the people who had their very particular plans. Like, all right, I'm going to help get the girls all organized. I'm going to get the meals all organized. I'm the coach. I'm going to do this. And so I sort of became a hub of communication so that different people with individual ideas knew that I could kind of help make sure they all knew what each other were doing and that it was working together pretty good. And then also a key role I did, because at that time Aislinn wasn't doing quite as many events as she is now and as some of the other swimmers and their parents wanted to see them. I was sort of a floater and a gopher. So, like, there was a really long walk between where you could actually drive up to drop the girls off and then the building. And so I would sort of be a walker with the girls after they got dropped off to get them into the pool and make sure they found the rest of the team. And then I was also a guard of the food in the coolers because they couldn't bring that inside. They had to leave it outside. So I'd sit there because I didn't have to watch Aislinn swim. She was cheering for her teammates, but I was the cooler guard. So not glamorous, but I was glad to know that I was helping out in some way and not dragging things down. And the thing is, it's normal in these types of settings. We've probably all had our own version of this one way or the other, where it can feel a little awkward, where we want to find our place, we want to know how we can help out. But our natural things or the ways that we feel most comfortable and confident, we can't slide right into. And that's okay, because it's true in life in general for any of us at any time. And even in our faith, we can have those moments where we can wonder what is our place in a faith community or in God's kingdom and plans overall. We can wonder, how will I be able to connect with God as I would hope and with other people in God's kingdom and be able to experience that full salvation life that God offers? We all have maybe things where we have those moments like, I don't know if I'm quite clicking the way I'd like. And that's a big part of what we're looking at and trying to find encouragement about in this sermon series we're doing right now, God in the Everyday for Everyone. Today, we're getting a chance to meet some more lesser-known characters. I don't know how common Bezalel and Oholiab, I'm even having trouble with it. Becky gave me a great example. How common it is that they jump to mind as people that we can learn from and see how the way God moves for them are ways that we can take encouragement for ourselves. Now, it may seem that getting the job of being like the lead artisans for the tabernacle, and if you're curious, the tabernacle was basically a big tent that the people of Israel had during the Exodus that was the precursor for the temple. So while they're roaming around in the desert, they can't really like build one building to worship at. They're moving from place to place. So the tabernacle was a tent, a sort of a mobile temple that they were able to do, but it had special things in it to still make it a special holy place. And so having a job where you are going to be sort of the leads of making that tabernacle a wonderful place for God's people would seem really important. And so you might think, oh, they probably had been feeling like, I know who I am, I've got an important job, I know right where to fit in, and feel like I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. But we should also remember that up to this point, after God's people had been rescued from Egypt, that they'd been nomads. And so as you're walking around, you're in the desert, there's not a lot of food around, you're kind of scrounging, you're figuring out how to survive, you're finding water, you're finding food, right? Being the person who, when people are like, okay, who knows how to go and be a really good hunter? We need a bunch of volunteers. Or who's really strong and is going to gather all the stuff when God gives us manna and other things? Or who is a really great engineer? And so if we're figuring out all these other things that we need as we're going along, who could be a good soldier for watching out for if people are going to attack us? The person who's like, I can make some really pretty crafts, probably did not feel like I'm the one who everyone is looking for to be excited about to chip in, right? When you're a nomad, it might seem like I don't have a place. Like, God has given me these gifts, but I'm not sure what that looks like when we're roaming around in the desert. So we can actually probably relate to that. And even as they're thinking about the ability to apply things to the tabernacle and to worship, Moses and Aaron have so far been leading the people out of Egypt, doing miracles of, like, spreading apart the Red Sea, getting water out of rocks, getting tablets of the law from God. So the religious aspects of the community life, they probably would also feel like, well, I'd like to help out with that, but, man, everyone's going to look a lot more at Moses and Aaron and all the amazing, fancy, powerful, impressive leader miracle stuff that they've been doing. And so I'm just going to sort of be second fiddle. And so I do think that it's true that before this process started, before God spoke to Moses and the community about what this could mean, they had some of those same types of feelings that we can, of feeling adrift, figuring out ways that they can bring themselves into the community. And so when we have those same feelings of wanting to figure things out and being excited about connecting with God, but wondering exactly how the specifics will work out, we can relate exactly to these types of people. And so then I think we can and should get a lot of encouragement from some of the things that are lifted out of this story in particular. So I don't know for sure even how much you noticed it, but actually Bezalel is the very first person in all of Scripture, not Adam and Eve, not Noah, not Abraham and his family, not Joseph, not Moses himself, to be called filled with the Spirit of God. It's an amazing thing. People had close encounters with God up to that point, but to be filled with God's Spirit in your core. He's the first person, this craftsman, this artisan, to have that designation within all of Scripture. And so I think that gives amazing affirmation that God really values and wants to come alongside and empower all sorts of different types of work that any of us might connect with, but wonder, if this is the thing I'm into, does it feel as important as like a Moses and Aaron in my community? Does it feel as spiritual as something else that I see around me? We can see from these types of stories that God says, yes, I fill my spirit with all sorts of amazing gifts and talents and ministries. And we can see also that as the tabernacle was going to be put together, God was very mindful of covering a lot of different things, of what it would mean to be spiritual, what it would mean to connect with God, and what it would mean to have hospitality and connection together. In the tabernacle, we see that there's going to be development of things with sights, with sounds, with smells, with things to touch, things that are functional and very practical, things that are artistic and maybe don't have a use other than like their beauty and the excitement and awe that they can generate. Things that will support people in very special roles, but also things that will invite and facilitate connection between just regular people, anyone that would come and be a part of worship in the tabernacle. And so we can see that this whole broad range of things is wonderfully affirmed by God. And therefore, the idea of what it is that things should be called religious or spiritual, we see that the net, the definitions, are very wide and diverse, and that we can all find different connections to that and not feel like, oh, that's the religious faithy stuff. This is just sort of the side stuff that maybe is a nice bonus, but God doesn't value as much. We can all find those things that are important to us that God would be filling God's Spirit with. And I think when we see this, it's really important for us to remember the fundamental purpose of what Bezalel and Aholiab were doing, and all of their other craftsmen. That they're not just about making things that are cool or impressive or fancy to show that the temple is really ornate or something like that. They did do amazing, remarkable, admirable things. But the point of all of that was to facilitate hospitable and meaningful connection between God and the people and amongst the people together themselves. So all of that stuff was pointed in that direction of, not only is it wonderful, but it makes connection. And that's the most important thing. That's the foundation of all of it. And this is incredibly important. When you're roaming around the desert, when you're excited to have been rescued from slavery, but you're not sure what's going to come next, if you don't have a sense of home, if you're trying to figure out who you're going to become as a people, if you're wrestling with God and whether or not God is actually going to take you all the way through because this keeps dragging on and on and on, having that place where you can have that connection facilitated is really, really vital. And Paul's letter to the Ephesians reinforces those themes for us and even expands their meaning and makes them deeper so that we can see how that is true for any circumstance, for all of God's people throughout time, including up to us today. It starts off with reminding us that when God's Spirit comes, it allows us to get in touch with both the nearness and the farness that we each have from God's family. There are some people here, the Gentiles, that are being especially reminded of their farness from God's family because they've been told, you are not insiders. But then also, Paul is speaking to the insiders, the people who are in God's community from the Jewish background, who are being told, even though you had been told you are insiders, there are still things that you need to learn and develop and that you had maybe forgotten and that you can be restored when we have this new blended community. And so when we are reminded of those things, how we can all have our nearness and farness to God and we want to be drawn together in nearness, it helps us remember that range of things that God has created and that God has given to all of us as gifts so that we can connect with the transcendence of God. We can't just do it ourselves with what is most familiar, but that God that is beyond us, we need each other and we need all of the things that God has given us to fully have that true connection to God, even if we feel like I'm definitely near, we don't have everything figured out. If we feel like we're far, we can be reminded that God will draw us near because God has made everything. So we can be welcomed if we feel far off. When we feel near, we can be encouraged to remember the value of those that we might call far off or those that we don't automatically connect with, that we can have faith that God's Spirit will give us value and connection and meaning from those things. And so when that power of God moves in that way, we see that people, that us, whether we seem near and far at first, whether we think our talents and the things that we care about most God definitely values, or we look at someone else and say, no, that's the one who I think is more important. God's Spirit wants to continually affirm us that we become the building blocks of the temple, of the place where connection with God happens and the place where meaningful connection between us occurs. So we can start with a reminder that the temple, that the tabernacle, all of that sacred space is important. Our own building that we have here is important because it becomes a convener where we can make those connections. But we can't get lost and think that the reason why we have that is to be impressive or have something impressive in a worldly way. It's not to be a place where we try to contain or control access to God, nor is it to be something that takes all of our focus and energy so that there's none left for other things. Again, God's temple, God's tabernacle, our spaces that we share together are meant to be places of fostering connection and a places where opportunities are given for people to share what God has given them that is spiritual and faith-filled so that we have more connection with God, more meaning, and more things that we can learn from each other and expand our understanding of God and the world. And there's a reason then, by the way, that Paul so frequently uses both this metaphor of the temple and how Christ is the cornerstone of the temple, but is building us all together into a dwelling for God. But also at the same time, he regularly uses the body metaphor of we're all like different parts of the body with our own specialties and characteristics, and we come together to be one thing that Christ is leading, but that we all are important and valuable, and we need each other. And in fact, Paul even sometimes mixes these metaphors together. If you read Romans 12, you will see both the temple metaphor and the body metaphor right next to each other and then woven together. And how this balance of being a sacred space with room for everyone and value of everyone's types of gifts is so important. And so when we can see these ideas interacting together, we can be very encouraged that God loves to fill us with the Spirit and empower us to connect with God and each other by offering our whole range of things that we have. And so we can experience the sacred together. It starts with someone like Bezalel, who may have felt like he was an outsider in his community, but that was instead filled with the Spirit of God to empower meaningful connection throughout his people. And now today, when we have different relationships with space and buildings, we continue to be filled with the Spirit of God to be our own sacred space for each other in bringing that connection. And that can happen in specifically churchy places that we associate automatically with being religious, or any other place in God's world. I think that whenever we can find stories of ways this type of thing happens, where people discover something sacred in themselves and in their purpose of their life, and then in fact they're given new life and new possibility because something has been shared with them in community by someone else, that's an amazing example of what a living temple looks like because of God's Spirit. There's actually some really wonderful stories of that from Wendy and her organization in the House, and many of you participate in supporting things for how the House has been set up, for writing hope letters for women that may end up in that house. And I've heard a story recently of how Carrie, who is the woman who's managing the House for Women that Wendy's organization is doing, in addition to managing, she also works for the City of Columbus in landscaping and horticulture and things related to gardening and plants. And her story is really fascinating because when she was in prison and looking for programs to develop skills, she actually was looking for something else. She wanted to be maybe an esthetician and thought that would be a good way to have a job when she came out and have some stability. But it wasn't available. And so she kind of stumbled her way into this program called Roots of Success that had to do with horticulture. And now, because she had that program shared with her, and there's a woman named Emily who worked at the Franklin Park Conservatory and some other things here in the City of Columbus around landscaping and designing and gardening, she shared her passion. She wanted to have that passion turn into something that wasn't just about this is what I love and can make something neat, but this is something that can be full of opportunity and possibility and new life for other people around me, especially those who might feel hopeless or directionless. And so from those connections, for Carrie, that felt like she unlocked her entire purpose of life. She talks now about how she wants to be involved in something that brings environmentalism, that will care for God's creation, and that will create a better world for everyone to live in. She sees that there are therapeutic values to people being out in beautiful spaces and being able to sort of settle themselves and connect with God and the world through that. She even went to extra lengths to become a master trainer for the program so that she could share her gifts and passion and opportunities for empowerment with other women the same way it had been shared with her. And now she works in the city and wants to continue to develop with the city program ways that she can bring more purpose that could impact anyone that ends up walking through our community. And so starting with something like someone like Emily, who wasn't even sure she wanted to work in the prison, but felt like, hey, I heard about this opportunity, and I want to share it with people, so I'll give it a shot, even if I'm not sure how things will turn out. That willingness to be used by God as a part of a temple, of sharing sacredness, and let God's hand move and see what could happen. That works together, and then passes on to someone like Carrie, and then passes on to more and more women, and has even more ripple effects to any of us. Those are amazing examples of how that connection that comes from God's Spirit showing up, and then people being a temple for each other of God's presence, creates new life, new possibility, new salvation that we all experience in different ways. And I think it's beautiful then that we have those same ripple effects in the ways that people have supported Wendy and the ways that people are sharing, hey, I have this talent of writing letters and being thoughtful to people, and that many of you were already writing to your friends and neighbors and family members, and then you decided, I can share that with other people who I don't know yet, but that because of God's Spirit, we can have new connection. And those are amazing examples of God's temple come to life for us all the time. You know, I've had things in the past, too, where I've sort of come at different passions or hobbies or interests that I've had from different angles. For instance, like connecting over sports. This is something a lot of people, I think, especially in Ohio with the Buckeyes and everything, can connect to. But I've had times where that has also felt a little bit strange and like the connection is not easy. I am not the type of person who, when I get into sports, that I get really like worked up and emotional, where I'm going to be like jumping off the couch and shouting and like hugging and high-fiving everyone who I'm watching with. I'm not necessarily the type of person who every sport that I watch is also when I want to like go and play with other people. So like I like watching football, but I don't play a lot of football. I do play soccer, but that's, you know, I don't have to have that connection. I'm not a person who gets really swept up in like the romance and the pageantry and, you know, the things that sometimes people feel like they get excited about that. But I really love sort of the analytical and strategic side of sports. But there have been times then when, even when I'm potentially bonding with someone, it's like, well, your personality is different than mine. And so it doesn't feel like it completely connects right away. And so that can feel more like a chance to pull apart rather than a chance to come together. But when I'm willing to look more at this idea of, well, we still have this thing in common, and I don't have to only appreciate people who are engaging in something exactly like me. It's exciting sometimes when you get to share that with somebody, but I can also just as much, even if it's not exactly my thing, I can appreciate and take joy in the way someone else is engaging from their personality with something that I care about. And that can, in fact, expand my ability to enjoy something. That can expand my understanding where I might otherwise stay only in my own narrow perspective. And I think sometimes we worry about this, again, with faith things or about what it means to build the temple of God together as people. We might say, oh, well, you know, when it comes to faith stuff, I'm more focused on like prayer and devotional types of things, but that person over there, they seem like really into intellectual study of the Bible, and we don't always connect really easily. And maybe some people are really into like doing physical tasks for different ministries. Some people are more relational, and it's harder for them to do the physical things, you know, being artistic, whatever it is, like all of that stuff. But sometimes it can feel like that ends up pulling in different directions. But I hope that we can see that, in fact, there are opportunities where all of those things are needed together to give the full tapestry of what salvation life together as God's people, being God's temple, really involves. We can ask for inspiration about ways that God can weave those things together, even that we might not expect, or that we might assume, oh no, those things don't always go together. They have to just sort of, you know, be in different pockets of things in a ministry or in a community. We've talked before about how when we have work days in the garden, that maybe not everybody wants to go out there and dig around in the dirt and get messy, or feels like they can swing a hammer or carry a big bag of mulch or something like that. But you can be there and be a welcoming, smiling face, a relational person for people that come and work with us, so we can make those connections. Right now, there's a really wonderful example. We've got some girls from OSU who are volunteering in the garden, and they're all pre-dental students. And so in addition to like some of just the normal tasks in the garden that they help with, they are doing outreach to dental and health offices all over Gahanna to say, we have this garden that gives food to grin. If you're trying to encourage more of your patients to eat healthy and to know that they have a place that will help them do that, we're going to create this little information packet so that they can go to Grin, or they can even come to our garden and know that there's a safe, welcoming place where they can get some of those things if they are not sure how easy that is to do in their circumstances otherwise. So they're finding these ways to say, this is what I care about. It might seem completely separate from a garden thing, but maybe there's some inspiration that can happen. And I think we can have faith that God will do that. And so especially during this season of Lent, when we're offering ourselves to God, when we're seeking to get closer connection and to develop more deeply in our faith lives, I want us to take encouragement that whatever it is that we care about can be something that we can each offer to help us connect with God and help us connect together. It could be that that will be here within the church and within some of our ministries. And if you have thought, this is something that I care about, I'm not sure exactly how it fits into something that I've heard about so far, don't be afraid to bring it up. We want to let God move and see how those things might actually complement each other. But it could also be that this is something that you do in carrying God's temple and God's presence out in other aspects of life that you care about and that you are passionate about and that you want to be involved in. If that's the case, we don't have to control you or all the things that God has given you here. If it is, we are praying for you and supporting for you and cheering you on, that's also an amazing thing. But we'd still love to have you share it with us because we want to see that sacred salvation life spread everywhere. And so I hope when we hear these metaphors of how God's Spirit first came to someone to create the tabernacle, of how God's Spirit continues to move to build us together into a new kind of temple, that our understanding of faith can now mean that if God is building us together to be God's own dwelling, maybe we have this new even language and framework of how we look at what we do together and what we do in the rest of our life. We can say things with this picture of the kingdom of God that's not like, oh yeah, this morning I went to church. But instead, all of you can say to yourselves, this morning I brought church to our building. Because God's Spirit was already with you and we are the ones being built together as God's temple. We can say that, in fact, not only when we come here, but in any moment, in any circumstance that God may lead us, making connection that will bring salvation and thriving to ourselves and to the people around us, no matter what that is. And I hope that as we go through this season together, we will share those things to unlock more and more of how God's presence will come to us and others. We can take that Spirit with us into our offering as well as we bring ourselves before God to be used for God's purposes.